Torah text for this morning's meditation is from Ephesians chapter 2, these words, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a while back now, I had the experience, the rather strange experience, of seeing a picture of me that someone took almost 40 years ago, a picture I don't remember being taken. You see, as my son and his wife, Gabriel and Jennifer, were in Arizona, where he was serving on his vicarage, he ran into a woman there in the congregation, a doctor, actually their doctor, who had been on a summer camp staff with me in Colorado way back in 1987. I didn't know her name, as we all had to have nicknames at camp. Hers was Hawkeye, I remember that much. She was in college then and wanted to be a doctor, and so her camp name she chose was the name of the main character of the television show MASH, the Dr. Hawkeye. Well, as it turns out, she had some pictures from back in the day, from our time at the camp there, and she gave them to Gabriel, and Gabriel gave them to me, and there I was, all 145 pounds of me, ill-fitting shorts and a t-shirt, holding a 35-millimeter camera. As I said, I don't remember the picture being taken. And I don't remember being 145 pounds, a beanpole at 6'1". Certainly didn't remember the haircut that was in that picture, or holding the camera, or what it was even like to be 21 years old. I simply didn't. I don't remember what it was like being the guy in that picture. But that's the way it is, isn't it? That's the way it is. When we're looking at old photographs, pictures of ourselves taken decades ago. Yeah, the picture and the person in the picture definitely is us. But who really is that person? We don't know. Yes, we'd like to think, oh yes, that was me when I was 21. And this is how I was thinking, and this is how I was feeling, and this is how I was talking back then. But that's not the way it is it? And it's not that way because we cannot go from our 2-year-old self and then switch to our 12-year-old self, and then our 17-year-old self, and our 26-year-old self, our 41-year-old self, and so on. No, those ages, those people, who we were, they faded away. And we can only look at the now in pictures. We can only look at those pictures and think about them and try somehow to remember them. For we've changed. We've changed. And what we are now is not what we were then. What we are now is not what we were then. Well, something similar happens when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. That is, when God, who is rich in his mercy, makes us alive together with Christ, raising us up with Christ and seating us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Yes, something happens there, and then whether we come to faith through the preaching of the Word of God, or the reading of the Word of God, or being baptized through the Word by water and the Spirit, something happens. For before that time, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, meaning we had no other choice than to think what we were thinking and do what we were doing. For we were at that time just following the world, prince of this world, even the god of this world, and that is Satan. And we didn't even realize we were doing it. So at that time, we lived simply by pursuing our passions, the passions of our flesh, following the desires both of our bodies and our minds, just like everyone else was doing. Coming to faith in Christ, however, something happened, and that is we became disconnected, separated from, set apart from that person which we once were. And we took on, through faith in Christ, a new life. A life with a new perspective. Heavenly perspective. As if we were ourselves were seated in heaven with Christ at this moment even, which, by the way, we are to a certain extent. So looking at our old life from our new heavenly perspective, can be a bit like looking at a picture taken of us long ago, a picture of us most definitely, but a picture of a person who we really do not know anymore. I mean, that's quite a distinction that the Apostle Paul makes, right? Quite a line of separation between being dead in our trespasses and sins on the one hand, and on the other, being made alive together with Christ. His righteousness becoming our righteousness, His holiness our holiness, His blessedness our blessedness, as daily we live in and through and by faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sins forgiven, our good standing before God assured. Now, here comes the somewhat complicated part. Here it comes. And that is, if we came to faith in Jesus through our baptism into Christ as an infant, or as a child through reading an arch book or a Bible story at a young age, this life of being dead in our trespasses and sins may not have ever been our experience. What has been our experience has always been a life with a heavenly perspective. The perspective of the Holy Spirit, the perspective of our Lord and Savior Jesus. That is the perspective of a life of love and forgiveness. And yet, it's not as if we have not experienced the micro-death that occurs within us, that is the sting of death, the scripture calls it, the sting of death, which is sin. When we follow the ways of the world by listening to the old Adam within us and following the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of both our bodies and minds, we have fallen into sin. And then we experience guilt, and perhaps we're terror-stricken, even for a moment of death. And at that moment, we understood what it meant to live in a totally earthly way. Separated from heaven, separated from our Savior, separated from our Lord as the consequences of our actions, our thoughts, that is our sins, loomed large right in front of us. And at that point, we would have liked to have been able to separate ourselves from ourselves and say, I don't know that person, like we can do when we see an old picture of ourselves, or I don't know what I was thinking, or I don't know what came over me. That's the way we normally put it, right? But ultimately, separating ourselves from ourselves when it comes to sin, it's not possible. For until we die, our Christ returns first. Our old Adam remains part of us, something with which we must deal every day. That's why we cannot, like the Pharisee in the gospel reading, stand before God and thank Him for how holy we are, for how much better we are than those around us, for how successful we have been in our pursuit of righteousness. For if we were ever to find ourselves making such claims, it would be a sure sign that the new man, the new creature, the new creation within us is no longer in charge, but instead, our old Adam is in full control. And that control is so complete and total that we remain completely unaware that such a thing is happening. And that is what it means to be dead in our trespasses and sin. That is, we are so far under the influences of the devil, the world, and our flesh that we don't even realize that it's so. Obviously, that's a place we never, ever, ever want to find ourselves. So better for us, much better, the tax collector in our gospel reading who knew exactly who he was, realized his daily struggle with himself, and cried out simply for the mercy of God, that God forgive him, a poor, miserable sinner. Now, it just may be that the thought flashed through your mind when you heard that. Why do we always have to talk about ourselves in this way? Why do we have to describe ourselves as poor, miserable sinners? I mean, when we do that, are we not just running ourselves into the ground? Not supporting ourselves, not encouraging ourselves, not pumping ourselves up to take on the world? No. It's not what we're doing when we call ourselves poor, miserable sinners. What we're doing when we call ourselves poor, miserable sinners is just admitting what is true about ourselves. So if I said to someone, you know, I simply can't fly. I've tried. I can't fly. Nowadays, of course, if I were to say such a thing that I cannot fly, someone might respond, oh, don't be so hard on yourself. With that type of attitude, you never will fly. So why don't you just identify as a bird? I'm thinking you could probably find somebody who could surgically implant some feathers into you and see what would happen. No, it's not a matter of trying or identifying. Sure, I could put on one of those wing suits and jump off a cliff, but that's not so much flying as it is falling with style. No. By making such a confession that I cannot fly, I am not saying I'm stupid or I'm deficient or I'm depressed. No, I'm simply stating a fact. And that same holds true when we admit, like the tax collector, that we're sinners. That's who we are. The old Adam's part of us. That's the reality, whether we realize it or not. And we cannot change that fact. What we can do, however, is not deny it. Not run from it, not cover it up or live in denial of it, but confess that it is so. And in that confession, call upon God's undeserved love for us, his mercy, and in his mercy to forgive our sins. And send us his Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith and give us courage to fight against ourselves and against the world and the devil every day, acknowledging that what is more powerful than sin is our sinless Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And through faith in him, we have been joined to him and he to us, so that he can and does take upon himself our sin. And he grants to us his righteousness. So even though we are poor, miserable sinners, through Christ we are rich beyond measure. For we have all the riches that Christ our Lord has granted to us through our union and communion and fellowship with him. So even though we are sinners, we're deemed to be righteous and holy before our Father who's in heaven. And being righteous and holy before our Father in heaven, our lives take on this perspective of his life. His life eternal, essential life, that is. We begin to look at the world like our Father in heaven looks at the world, in love, working for its redemption, its justification, even sanctification. Here, new vistas can open to us. That is ways of thinking that we have never considered before. You know, a guy posted a video the other day somewhere online where he posed the question, what would our life look like if we treated our Bibles like our cell phones? What would our life look like if we treated our Bibles like our cell phones? Then what followed was a video of him laying in bed, tossing and turning and rolling over, and instead of grabbing his cell phone, he grabbed his Bible. And then were other scenes, like scenes of him cooking while looking at his Bible. watching television while reading his Bible, and even driving his car, wheel in one hand, the Bible in the other. Don't do that. But the point was well made. Can we and could we and should we be more willing to answer the challenges of the day by diving into the Word of God? Of course. Being assured repeatedly then of our righteousness before God, of the all-encompassing power and compassion of God for us, of the love of the Spirit daily working to reconcile us one to another, of the immeasurable riches of the grace of God and His kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Here we're just scratching the surface of what it means to be alive together with Christ. And not dead in our trespasses and sin. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the creed.